Why it's Dead Doctors Don't Lie with Dr. Joel Wallach. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville at 6 minutes past noon.
And now, KSCO presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
And here we go for KSCO Presents here. Another 2 hours of talk radio to this vast region around the Monterey Bay Area, all the way up to the South Bay and the Great Bay Area. And your number into the switchboard, 831-479-1080. Hey, load it up here in a hurry, and we'll go to work. And you won't have to listen to my monologue so much as tell a vast audience out there, well over 1.5 million, what's on your mind. And I consider you some of the brightest, most creative in the country in this business of talk radio. Hey, why not share a little of that wisdom with the folks out there? As usual, anything you have that you think is important for others, particularly if you have a solution to a problem, I'd much rather hear that than whine about it. We'll put you on the air here. We'll listen to what you have to say. And frankly, I'll tell you, you'll be able to bend more ears, influence more people, and you'll ever meet the rest of your life. So come along. 479-1080. I have a few observations here. One that caught my curiosity this last week. Reported in the Santa Cruz Sentinel last week, most of you probably heard about it, was a problem with the San Lorenzo River bending and hitting right before the boardwalk. Now, let's back up. I want you to consider this interesting situation a little bit. If you're a homeowner, a landowner, anywhere along the coastal area, and you so much as want to change a window, for instance, in your home that views the ocean. In fact, I remember a case where some nuns clear up on Skyline Boulevard in San Mateo were being blocked from improving their sanctuary because it would disturb the view from the ocean up to the mountainside. That was the excuse used then by the Coastal Commission. Can you imagine, as a homeowner, that if you're near the beach, for instance, you don't like the looks of the beach out there, the waves have changed the sand a little bit, and you just go hire yourself a big bulldozer and you run down there at the beach and you just start bulldozing the thing away. Can you imagine what they'd do to you? They'd have the feds in there, the National Guard. You'd be arrested at least 3 times, shackled on at the ankles, and dragged off to prison for, you know, who knows how long. But now, if you're big bucks, if you're the boardwalk in Santa Cruz, a very nice place, you're part of the in crowd of the environmental gurus and the political system, no problem. Hey, you get an emergency permit, bingo, automatic. And, of course, most of you folks saw the bulldozer working down there. Now, I'm not against that at all. I think it's necessary and very reasonable. You want to preserve some important structures right there on the beach and the right of people to have access to normal and usual areas, and the river's endangering it. Well, you get a bulldozer down there and you put up a berm and you straighten the river out. Very commonly done. But incidentally, what I happen to recall is a story told to me by some of the staff at this radio station, KSCO, some years ago, where they saw the ocean tides changing the entrance to a lagoon on which the antennas are situated here for this station. And they inquired of the Coastal Commission, could they protect themselves, because if that lagoon ever filled up to where the water level got up to the bottom of the antennas, boom, it's all over with. See? The answer was, you got to be kidding, go to blank, blank, blank. No response whatsoever. Not a chance. Now tell me, what's the difference? What's the difference between you, a citizen somewhere along the coast that has to deal with these pompous cats, and the boardwalk? Well, I'll tell you one thing that the boardwalk represents is a lot of money in bucks for Santa Cruz, of course. That means money into the public coffers that pay the salaries of these Coastal Commission cats. And they ain't stupid. They know where their bread money comes from. So, obviously, when it comes time to hassle somebody, they'll go hassle the hapless homeowner who wants to paint the front wall on his house or plant a garden 300 yards away from the ocean, or nuns who are 13 miles away but might, quote, spoil the aesthetic view from the ocean. Can you imagine that? They actually pulled that. Coastal Commission did that. That's because another agency was trying to hassle the nuns and couldn't do it. And I came down on them on talk radio and exposed these cockroaches like bugs in the kitchen in the middle of the night. And they ran for cover, so they ran over to their buddies in the Coastal Commission and got them to do the job of hassling the nuns. See? That's the way these cats work. In fact, I think the first agency was this so-called regional open space operation that buys up land all the way down the peninsula so that it can't be developed, so you'll have open space. And then guess what the first thing they do? They put fences around it and gates, and they hire guards so that you sniveling citizens can't get in there and defile or ruin the open space. Neat operation, huh? And then when you go back and you check on the salaries that this, quote, open space commission is paying to itself and its employees, and these are nice. These are, if you're an open space specialist, I think that was one of the names I tracked down. That means you get to drive a pickup around and go check the locks on the gates to keep the sniveling kids and citizens out of the open space they own. It was like $80,000 a year with benefits you'd never dream of, okay? As a matter of fact, when you got in your pickup and disappeared, they didn't know whether you were out in open space or in the local coffee shop or on another job. They didn't care. And the director of the open space, he was dragging down, over $200,000 a year, as I recall. And their main job is to put more initiatives on the ballot to get you to vote for more open space because evil developers are taking it over and actually allowing you sniveling citizens to live somewhere. And here they're going to close it off so you never get to go there. Yeah, it's a little far away, I guess, here. But tell me, what do you think about this situation? Coastal Commission stands there, automatic permit, emergency permit, not a squeak out of them. Just put a bulldozer out there and fix it. But others, for instance, this radio station, when its antennas are in jeopardy, same situation, a lagoon with a small opening to the ocean. If that should get plugged and the water builds up, bang, radio station's out of business. I think a radio station's a public service as well, too, you know. And then we can go to the real fat cats, the Noah Nazis, as I've been calling them for some time. You know, that arrested a woman, going to bankrupt her for supposedly feeding a whale, and jet skiers who were saving surfers while a movie's being made. They bring out $1 million helicopter and warships and call in 25 San Mateo police officers and fish and game. And the whole army of blubber butts with badges are out there patting each other on the back on the dock while they chase down these two hapless jet skiers. Oh, boy. And they're going to drag them all into federal court. And since I put the heat on them a little bit, and the heat all the way to the Congress now, and it's coming from the East Coast, too, experiencing a lot of this. All of a sudden, they decided the best use of your money and all these stray cats running around the federal payroll is they could put out a movie now. They got a public relations movie out on what great things they do, on how they save the ocean sanctuaries and the marine life from you sniveling evil citizens who most clearly go out there and butcher them in the dark and defile the waters. Without any thought to, how did all that get here before they existed? How did all these rich treasures they talk about get protected before they ever came around? At $100,000 apiece on the payroll, costing the taxpayers $300,000 a year. That's what it costs for one of these cats. Not just the salary, but the salary, overhead cars, air-conditioned offices, pensions, benefits, and long-term obligations, $300,000 a year apiece. Yeah, you can bet they got to go out there and bust some citizens to justify their existence on the payroll, huh? All right, Brad in Santa Cruz, you're on KSCO.
Dr. Wattenberg, how are you this afternoon?
Fine. What's on your mind?
Good, good. Hey, listen, I'm so glad that you're bringing up this river situation because I thought of you the whole time this was going on. First of all, I think they did a terrible job with all their earth-moving equipment. I thought you would have been much better to go down there at least consult.
Frankly, I'll tell you, I grew up in that business taking care of floods with bulldozers. Yeah, so
that's why I was thinking of you. But the thing that bothers me most about this is if you talk to the people in Aptos, in Rio Del Mar, where Aptos Creek comes in, it's called Beach Drive, and there must be at least 15 houses along that stretch.
I've been there.
Aptos Creek. Well, the Aptos Creek was doing exactly the same thing, although in the opposite direction, eroding away the backyard area of all these houses.
Sure.
And no matter how hard they tried, this is going on over the last 2 years, they could not get a permit to bulldoze out the mouth of Aptos Creek so it would flow straight out.
Oh, I can quote for you. I can quote for you over the years the response I got from these Coastal Commission blabbering professional liars, I call them PR people. And that is, now let me continue. Let me give the folks a little taste of why you're right on the mark. Standard argument was, the ocean's only reclaiming what is rightfully theirs that was taken over by evil human beings.
Eh?
No, that's their attitude. That is their official sniveling statement. And you track these professional lying cats down who are on the public payroll, and you find out they live in nice condos somewhere, ride BART or the subway. They could care less about the evil practices of all you working suckers, you know?
You're absolutely right. And then they went and turned it on to Department of Fish and Game, claiming that because the sandbar was there, it would be a natural attractant or detriment to the steelhead in the creek.
They can make up any off the wall thing they want. And on a given day, if it were the other way around, they wanted the sandbar out, they'd call the same game cats in. They'll say that some evil species had invaded that part of the beach and it must be eliminated to protect the natural fauna and flora. See?
You're absolutely right, and I'm afraid in each instance, what you say is true. That evil species is us, and they got to get us off the beach. It's unbelievable. We just have to keep putting the pressure on them.
It only depends on follow the money, you see. Follow the political dynasty. Whatever fits that and whatever keeps their paychecks coming, whatever lines their green pockets, which is just your green money only, that's what they do. And here's a good example. Boardwalks are financially very, very important to the Santa Cruz community. All of your local environmental gurus and saviors are dependent on that. And they all scratch each other's backs. And you can bet, you know, when they make a call to Coastal Commission, somebody jumps. See?
Absolutely. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm against trying to protect the boardwalk. It's an institution here in the area. But I think you have to give regular people, homeowners, the same sort of consideration when they are threatened. It's their livelihood, but they couldn't care less.
Well, that's all I've been telling you, Brad. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll just leave you with this. I've told you time and again, there's only one thing you can do. You can complain until hell freezes over, but until you put up some signs and say Assemblyperson Jones, State Senator Smith, Congressman Farr, this is what you'd better do something about, or I don't vote for you, and I'm going to tell 10 others. Until they see those signs, you will get no satisfaction whatsoever. They fluff you off like a piece of snot on their nose on a cold day, you know.
Absolutely right, and I already have my bumper sticker, and I'm looking at other names to get on.
Well, hey, keep it up. Thanks for calling, Brad. Okay. Here's Troy in Scotts Valley. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz. Troy.
How you doing, Dr. Bill?
Great. What's on your mind?
Good. I was calling you about the Williamson Act, and that pertains to what you're talking about for all waterways.
I know it well. I'm right in the middle of it. What are they doing to you?
Well, I've had friends where they've done matrices and, you know, 160-acre parcels in timber preserve zones. They tell them they can't, they can't build on them because wherever the water flows one day, the federal government owns, 150 feet either side of that, is it now?
They what now? What did I say this now?
Of the high water mark of any waterway or where runoff water runs one day per year, the federal government owns 150 feet on either side of that.
Well, they'll control that, yes. I mean, you might still be able to farm it or do something if you're allowed, but you'll have to get permits from them, kiss their bottoms, go to the Army Corps of Engineers, everything else, don't you?
So I heard like about a year ago that they were working on repealing the Williamson Act.
Well, here's what's happening. The Williamson Act is a contract that allows counties to make a contract with people who have open space or land, of farmland or something, and in return for agreeing to certain conditions, you won't develop it or what have you, then you're given a break on the taxes because that means you can't go get full value and therefore it shouldn't be assessed that high. Now, the Williamson Act contracts can be canceled, and many counties are considering that because they need more tax income. They're not getting enough from farmers and ranchers and people. In my case, I have a little grazing land and up in Lassen County, and I got a notice that the county's considering canceling the Williamson Act, but might do it again this year. So it's a negotiable situation. The county supervisors, as I understand it, can determine whether or not they will renew a Williamson Act contract. They're not forever.
So on your grazing land, does the Department of Fish and Game and County today monitor the nitrates that come off of your grazing land?
Well, it depends on what county and where you are. Different ones have are just swarming with agencies that come in after you. Others have very few. I don't know what the situation is where you are down here, but I don't know that the Williamson Act itself states requirements that involve other agencies. You'll have to look it up and read it. I've never had any problem with it.
So would that have to be voted out at the congressional level or at the state level?
No, the Williamson Act is at the state level, I understand. Okay.
Interesting.
Go talk to your county supervisors. I believe each county makes an agreement to enter into a tax reduction for you if you'll set aside some land under the Williamson Act, but it is a renewing contract, as I understand it. Okay.
Okay. I enjoy your Sunday night show. I listen to it before I fall asleep, and I enjoy that. So thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate that very much, and thanks for calling, Troy. Okay, your number into the KSCO switchboard loaded up here, 831-479-1080. I'll be right back.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Hello, Trudy. You fancy some BBC, then?
What, the telly?
No, I mean bangers, beans and chips, missus.
Ooh, I'm a bit peckish. Are you making tea, then?
No, I thought we'd go to the Britannia Arms in Capitola. You know they've got a new one right on the beach.
Get away, they'll be sitting on top of the world.
Cor blimey, does that place have the same menu?
Yes, and some lovely new appetizers as well. Steamed mussels, grilled artichokes, ahi tartar.
That sounds delicious. You know what? I think I'm going to decide when I get there. I might go with the fish and chips, the chicken curry, or ribeye steak with Yorkshire pudding.
Well, they always pour a nice pint there as well.
Oh, I love a glass of cider.
Right, we're off then, and you can buy the first round.
Cause two Brits are better than one.
Britannia Arms are now in two locations, in Capitola Village at the end of the Esplanade and at 8017 SoCal Drive in Aptos. Lovely jubbly.
Toodles.
Reach for the sky, Hello, I'm Chris Gallardi of Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey Airports. You can reach for the sky in one of Specialized Aviation's airplanes or helicopters. And it will be so easy, you'll wonder why you waited so long to fly.
Hello, I'm Mary McDonald. I'm an aerobatic pilot here at Specialized Aviation. Join us at the Watsonville Aviation Thrill Center for all kinds of extreme flying fun. I'm talking aerobatics from 3,000 feet, where you loop, roll, spin, and dance over the Monterey Bay. Or a graceful helicopter tour for that over-the-top view of all the magic the beautiful Monterey Bay has to offer. Or take on the adventure and challenge of learning to fly a helicopter or an airplane. Or jump out of an airplane and free fall from 14,000 feet. It's all here, and at prices starting at only $33.
Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey Airports. 831-763-2244 or sphelly.com.
Dr. Bill Wattenberg is brought to you today by Security Crime Prevention in Watsonville. Call and ask for a free, no-obligation security consultation for your property at 831-728-7222 or visit Security Crime Prevention online at scp-security.com. A proud member of Think Local First.
Get back to you here on my computer screen so I can see. Oh, gee, I'm surprised here. Board's wide open for you. All the neat things you could talk about to the world and tell another million and a half about right here over this powerhouse AM 1080 station with tens of thousands now streaming around the country. They hear my Sunday night show. I tell them about KSCO. It's not syndicated in the country, but they can just click onto the internet and hear it at any rate. And here you are. 831-479-1080. And all you folks send me emails here again up in the South Bay and down the Central Coast. Hey, call in and tell the other folks about it. I can't answer you on the air. Interesting subjects, questions, be great material here. Come along. 831-479-1080. Now, something else I'm going to tell you is going to be very embarrassing, I think, for the president before it's over with. You've seen the reaction nationally to this situation where a young black man was shot in, I believe, Florida by a local guard or vigilante or whatever you want to call him. I think it was Protective Services, one of these groups that try to protect their own neighborhoods. And the man that shot him happens to be Hispanic. So the immediate play in the media is this poor, innocent little boy. They pick up a baby picture of him, show the world, even convinces the president he could be his own son. He's so sweet. And then they show the most grisly picture they can of the Hispanic man. In fact, I think it was taken right after the incident in which he was attacked as well. And now it's coming out. It's not quite so simple. This Hispanic man that they portrayed so cruelly. In fact, you know what the first descriptions were on your proud media spinners? They started calling him a white Hispanic. They didn't want him to be Hispanic. They wanted him to be evil. They wanted him to be white, see, so they called him a white Hispanic. Now, any of the Hispanics and any of you listening here who dare to defend yourself, then you're going to be called a white Hispanic from now on. Now, furthermore, they start digging a little more, and they get a current picture of this young black man. He doesn't look quite so baby-faced and sweet as in the first renditions. Then they find out that he has had some activities of his own that would not make him so tame in most people's minds. And there appears to be evidence now that he did knock down the Hispanic man with banging his head on the sidewalk before the Hispanic man shot him. Now, where do you think all this is going to go? Tell me. Could go either way. I'm not sure that's really justified that the Hispanic man shot the young black man. Under those circumstances, even if you're getting beaten a little bit, killing somebody's a little far out. On the other hand, if you're being beaten and somebody's banging your head on the sidewalk, what do you do to defend yourself? And then is it fair that you're characterized as an evil white Hispanic because you shot this black assailant? I think all this is going to be an interesting issue before it's over with. But boy, I'm really disappointed the president, as he did once before a couple of years ago, just immediately responds as the president of the United States, supposed to represent everyone, immediately responds with the implication that this was an outright injustice that's so obvious that he has to say something before it's even investigated. Now, you remember right after he was elected, I believe it was in Boston police officer approached a black man trying to get into a house, and in the course of the situation ended up having to arrest the black man. Police officer went there because a neighbor had called to say that someone's trying to break into this house. The man trying to break in turned out to be the owner of the house and, oh, heaven forbid, a professor at Harvard or something. But nevertheless, the original call to the police department said nothing about the intruder being a black man. It just said a man trying to break into a house. And the police officer shows up and he wants an explanation for why you're trying to break into the house. And the black professor gets pretty indignant because he's obviously being singled out and profiled just by being approached by a cop. And one thing leads to another anyway. Then the president stands up and says the police officer was stupid without even looking in the details. He says the cop was stupid. Of course, when the full facts come out, he has a little different attitude. He has to invite both of them to the White House to have a beer to try to, you know, let's all get along, everything's fine. But, you know, when you're president of the United States, you don't stand up by what you see in the spin doctor media and make a conclusion and comment on it to the world. He's supposed to represent this entire nation, all people, all ethnic groups, all backgrounds, you see, including the white Hispanics, as you Hispanics were portrayed, if you're listening. And I think he's got a real problem coming up now in the next election, unless he backs this one up. I don't think most Hispanics care to be characterized the way the press is doing this automatically without a careful, full investigation to see the facts. Tell me what you think about it. Hey, Saint and Hollister, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
How are you doing, Dr. Wattenberg?
Fine. What's on your mind today?
Well, the other day I called in, and I would like you to explain to our Sierra Club friends and all that how France has done breeder reactors and been doing it for 40 years or more, and how their country has come, you know, they're doing very well, and explain the difference to our unwashed brethren who want to have everybody live in their condo, but they want to live in their million-dollar condos, and tell all the rest of us to live here.
All right, well, look, that's a lot of broad range, but let's discuss breeder reactors. Normal, when you talk about nuclear reactor, nuclear plants, most people think of the normal nuclear power plants that we have, and the French have many. The primary purpose is to generate energy using as a fuel enriched uranium, low enriched uranium. That means normal uranium in which the cream part has been enhanced, like half and half in milk. See, normal uranium comes out of the ground as U-238 is the most abundant isotope, it's called, or constituent. And a small part, 0.7%, is the isotope U-235, close cousin to U-238. U-235 will fission. If you bring it together, you can make a chain reaction. You can make a bomb if you have a lot of it. So you take the U-238, comes out of the ground, and you enrich it by skimming out the U-235 and making it a higher concentration, which means you leave some of the other U-238 off the side. Same way, if you take normal cow's milk, take the cream off and try to make half and half, you'd have some skim milk left over you can't use. Well, the skim milk is the U-238. That's called depleted uranium, which, by the way, is tame as hell. And it's so stupid you hear the Sierra Club cats talking about how dangerous it is. Now, another way to make fuel for a nuclear reactor is called a fast breeder reactor. You can actually take U-238 and subject it to an intense bombardment of neutrons and create nuclear fuel, plutonium in particular. And that those sorts of reactors are much more expensive and frankly difficult to really construct and control and everything than normal reactors, but they are designed to make more nuclear fuel than you consume. They'll make more nuclear fuel than you consume because they'll take this skim milk, this U-238 that's left over, and bombard it with neutrons and turn it in, a good portion of it, into nuclear fuel. That's what the Russians have been doing. Now, keep in mind, we in this country developed all this technology. We had this technology, and then we abandoned it because of the hysteria over nuclear plants. Other countries took it and improved it and have been using it. And France, for instance, is the cleanest industrialized nation in the world in terms of air quality, lack of pollution, and inexpensive energy. France is way ahead of everyone else because they're more than 80% nuclear power. They've done it right. They standardize their plants. They train their people rigorously on one standard plant. They don't have the stupidities that caused Three Mile Island or Chernobyl, which were both operator errors, not the plant's fault, operator errors. And so here we are. Now, you listen to the anti-nuke crowd, you're probably getting a little sure of it here. You can always tell, A, two things, how ignorant they are, and B, how stupid they think you are. Because they'll tell you the god-awful dumbest things and expect that you are so stupid you believe it. For instance, nuclear plants are using up all the fresh water of the world, see? Or spent fuel rods are nuclear waste is evil. Or they're dangerous for 10,000 years and they'll seep through the ground and end up in the Santa Monica Beach, see? You listen to these this stuff and they're nuts. But they have conditioned an entire generation of people to believe that nuclear power and the ultimate evil. If you even spell the word radiation, you get a cancer on the tip of your nose. What they don't understand is they get more radiation by sleeping with themselves or their spouse than you'll ever get from a nuclear power plant or the leftovers of all the nuclear so-called accidents. That the coal plants they force us to build are 10,000 times filthier and put 10,000 times more uranium and thorium in the atmosphere you're breathing than the sum total of all the nuclear power plants and all the nuclear accidents, you see. So this is what the Sierra Club and the dum-dums and the anti-nuclear hysterics have created.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Dr. Bill. I appreciate that.
Now, let me add this. Let me add this. Do you think I'm just a preacher out here for nuclear powers? Okay, first, let me make this statement, damn it. Nuclear power is not absolutely safe. There is no free lunch in this world. Everything has a risk to it. Everything has a price. You have to make the relative prices. I mean, the relative danger of nuclear plants for all that, for the three, four accidents that have happened is still minuscule compared to the damage being done by the coal-burning plants, which are creating the mostly biggest contributor to the global warming that the same Sierra Club and your environmental gurus scream about. They are causing. Pick your local environmental guru, and I can give you ammunition to prove that he or she is causing the filth in the air and the global warming that they want to blame you for because you're so evil you drive your car. All right?
No.
Try all that on for size, and that's your lesson for this week here, Satan. Called again. I'll be back with the rest of you folks on 831-479-1080, your number, providing you call in here so I can talk to you. Be right back.
Thank you. Security Crime Prevention will watch your business while you're out creating more business. Hello, my name is Drew Griffith, owner of Security Crime Prevention, with offices centrally located in Watsonville. If you own a small business, a strip mall, apartment complexes, have vacation rental properties, manage a homeowners association, or produce special events and festivals throughout the Central Coast, Security Crime Prevention will take the worry out of your being away by watching out for you. Listen.
Nate Smith from Nate Smith's Optimal Auto Care.
Years ago, we had a few incidents of vandalism, so we contacted SCP Security, which has completely eliminated any problems we've had, and we've been very happy with their service.
Take the worry away from being away from your business. Call Security Crime Prevention and ask for a free, no-obligation security consultation for your property. 831-728-7222. 831-728-7222. Or online at scp-security.com. Security Crime Prevention is watching out for you.
Okay, everybody, listen up. When Dave Allen asked me to voice this spot, how could I refuse? It's all about Dr. Wallach and his amazing products. Think back when Dave Allen was the first to make it easily accessible for all you listeners out there. As usual, Dave Allen was ahead of his time. What a guy. Imagine, all you have to do is walk in, become a wholesale purchaser, and leave with the goods in your hand. Whoa, leave with the goods in your hand? In the Silicon Valley, San Jose area, just call Marilyn Henderson at 408-262-1888. That's 408-262-1888. In downtown Soquel Village on the corner of Doppenbiss and Soquel Drive, the Bay Briar Shop. Their number is 462-1965, 462-1965. While in Aptos on Soquel Drive next to the Little Taco Bell, the Whitelaw Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Their number is 688-7077, 688-7077. Or on the web at www.deaddoctorsdontlie.com. Go Bob.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Every Monday through Friday from 6 to 9, it's Good Morning Monterey Bay right here on KSCO. Rosemary Chalmers, Rick O'Shea, Susan Simon, Easton Allen, and KO Sports. And regular features including Rocky Snyder with surf and ski reporting, a fishing report, news on your favorite recipes, Links That Stink with Hellbard, Jeff Gallopo with celebrity gossip and great book reviews, Mark Mozina from the University of California at Santa Cruz talking about astronomy, Donna Jacobs with the latest in news about our veterans, and a whole lot more. It's all right here on Good Morning Monterey Bay from 6 to 9 a.m. every weekday morning. Join us for the next exciting edition of Good Morning Monterey Bay.
Back to you on KSCO Presents. I'm Bill Wattenberg, your host. You're the stars of this program. A few great calls coming in here. Yours could be the next. 831-479-1080. Don't wait until the next hour when I won't have time to get you on the air. Use your great talk radio station right now. Say, here's a message I want to pass on to you. You've heard me mention that it's probably 10,000 or more listening to this program now over the internet because I'm syndicated and on this program Sunday nights, 8 to 11. Many want to hear the daytime programs. They're outside the immediate area. So they pick it up on the internet. It's called streaming. All you have to do is go to ksco.com and click on Listen Live, and you can hear it perfectly well. Well, there's an even better way than using your computer. The Sea Crane Company has produced a really neat radio. It's called the Wi-Fi Internet Radio. If you have Wi-Fi in your home, anywhere, this radio will lock right onto that signal and pick it up directly. You don't have to go through your computer, and it can be anywhere. Take the radio anywhere in the room, and you will get the program with absolute clarity, no fade out, no nothing. In fact, you can pick up 5,000 stations around the world. no matter where you are in the world, if you have the Wi-Fi signal with the Wi-Fi radio. And this radio looks just like a regular radio. It's got a tuning knob, dials, even a remote, everything else neat in size. And it's reasonable in cost. $139.95 for absolutely clear radio reception. Call the Sea Crane Company at 800-522-8863 if you want to order the Wi-Fi radio. That number again, 800-522-8863. And say, if you want something special for the very special person anytime, always start with the Sea Crane Company. You can log on to their site at ccradio.com. ccradio.com. And they are the world's greatest radio and gadget company, if you want to see them in the country, I started to say. Now, back to ID and Felton. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill.
Yes, what's on your mind?
Oh, it's good to I used to listen to you once in a while out of KGO. I'm glad you're back on the air.
Well, this is it. This was always my favorite audience on West Coast Talk Radio here in Central Oregon, a few other places, and now I've got it all here on this station.
All right. Anyhow, you were talking about nuclear reactors. What I was wanted to shift topics is, this topic about air pollution, and everybody assumes that internal combustion engines and industrial processes are the only contributors of air pollution.
Yeah.
I think that as people drive down a dry highway, rubber is abraded from the road. Every time they put the brakes on, a little bit is particularized.
Yes.
So there must be tons of really tiny, fine particles of neoprene, rubber, and asbestos in the atmosphere.
Well, I can help you a little bit because I was part of a study on this a long time ago.
Oh, they've done that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's been done many, many times, and it's not tons.
Nobody ever mentions it?
Because look, the so-called air pollution experts, they don't know how to fine you or arrest you for rubber particles alongside the road. They can make regulations claiming you're polluting the air, though. Now, let me tell you the answer here. It's not tons. It's millions of tons. It's hundreds of thousands, at least. All the rubber that wore off your tires is sitting alongside the road somewhere. Very little of it goes up in the atmosphere a long period of time. It just spews out around the roadways where it gets worn off, and a lot of it gets smeared right on the runway. You can see black streaks on concrete highways, okay? Now, it's not considered a big problem. Okay, it's not.
How about asbestos?
Well, the asbestos that used to be in it was a problem, but there's not much in it now anymore. You won't find asbestos in the fibers of the tires. Okay, the main place that is giving you some asbestos fibers is off the brake pads, hold a second. Let me finish the sentence for you. Most of which are outlawed now. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So the source of asbestos fiber has pretty well been eliminated. There's still a little out there. But the real air pollution is not the rubber off your tires. It might seem that way, but it's all uniformly spread along the roadways where it wore off, popped up in the air, and settled down very quickly.
Oh, okay. Well, that at least makes me reassured.
Yeah, but let's go to the real problem. The real problem are all the cats that claim that we have horrible pollution in the air and you have to have tens of thousands of them, like this California Air Resources Board and others, on the payroll, defrauding the public and justifying their own fat butts on the payroll, on the federal payroll. The truth is, air pollution has been decreasing, been improving in terms of decreasing every year for the last 20 years. And today, the air is far clearer and cleaner than it was before man arrived. And one reason is this. Before man arrived and stopped forest fires, in the central valleys and most of the areas of this country, and even on the prairies, you had a constant haze of wood smoke from midsummer or summer through the fall. Well, most of that's been eliminated, by man. And yet the few percent that's left over has to be the target of these self-serving air pollution agencies that claim it's evil. What solved most of the air pollution was the cooperation of American industry and motorists, not your EPA air pollution cats. When they agreed to put catalytic converters on your car, to build emission control mechanisms in your cars that you paid for, that eliminated the automobile. But they've done nothing about Mother Nature, nor much about utilities and furnaces in your home burning natural gas, you see.
Well, you know, like that takes care of four-cycle engines. What about two-cycle, like lawnmowers and weed whackers?
They're very polluting compared. I mean, they put out a lot of crap compared to a well-designed four-cycle engine. But again, they're so small a contributor compared to the big cars and engines and trucks and what have you. And I'll tell you, they're trivial compared to Mother Nature's contribution. What most people don't realize is 40% of the smog, the constituents that make up smog, don't come from cars. They come from trees. Natural emissions from trees and vegetation. Big shock. And when this was proven and stuffed in the face of these these eco gurus, they were just shocked. You see, but the truth is very easy to prove. Put a big canopy over a bunch of trees somewhere, start collecting it, and you can find it. It's Mother Nature's way.
Well, you ease my mind, you know. Like, so I guess probably the big thing is the political. Political games they play behind this whole thing.
Look, your California Air Resources Board is one of the biggest collections of nincompoops. I mean, really idiot, gooey bureaucrats sucking off the system $1 billion, cooking up regulations like they put the MTBE poison in the gasoline for 12 years that I warned everybody and fought them, finally had to stop. They carried out the biggest pollution of California in history, of the country. The stuff's still in the groundwater. And yet now they go off on another campaign claiming that the diesel engines are so dangerous they're going to shut the whole economy down. That keeps them on the payroll. I've stopped them there for a couple of years. You may have heard me on West Coast Radio for a while.
Yeah, I got to listen to you out of KGO.
I'm going to stay after them. And if you want to see what a fraud they are, I got some people to put up a website that put the screws to them. It's called killcarb.org, KILLCARB.org. Go take a look at the real facts and truth about a rogue cesspool state agency that nevertheless is sucking up so much money that your students' tuition have to go up at the state and college and universities. 20,000 teachers have to be fired. And your lazy-butted legislators will not stop this carb fraud because a lot of their relatives are over there on the payroll. A lot of their buddies that help them get reelected every 2 or 4 years are stuffed on the payroll over there, see? Call up your local state assembly person and state senator and ask them, what have they done about shutting down carb? There's where you'll find them.
I'll do something better. I'm going to Sacramento.
Well, you should, and I've been there in fact, I got all the truckers of California.
Yeah,
to put
I remember that.
That put the screws to them, and I'm telling folks here, if you want to stop these political cats or make them do what's good for you, you put up some signs in their face. You'll see how they jump, huh? They don't expect that. But those signs on the trucks are what stopped this carb fraud for a while, see? All right, hey, take care. You really get me wound up there. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
All right, you take care. Robert in Watsonville, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
I got a really quick question for you.
Sure.
Is the particle-wave duality of visible light, is that continuous throughout the electromagnetic spectrum?
Yes, actually it is. Even going to nuclear particles, the small particles that make up the nucleus that have been discovered by, you know, particle physicists with big accelerators, In every case you can make an analogy that particle has a wave equivalent, okay?
Every moving charge radiates.
Everything, yeah. Okay. Not just radiates. It can be represented by a wave, you see, or a packet. When it's represented by a packet, why, of course, it's a particle.
Okay.
But if you represent it by a wave, in quantum mechanics, then that's how you determine its interaction with other particles and other waves, you see. But there's a duality at all levels.
Okay. Excellent.
And, hey, very good question. You studying physics?
No, I'm working at it. I contacted you before about your Dan Hostler story, the beer mystics.
Beer mystics? What was that
one? He was looking into his beer glass, and he saw the way the bubbles...
Oh, you mean Don Glaser.
Don Glaser, yeah.
Yeah, my former professor and colleague won the Nobel Prize for the hydrogen bubble chamber. One of the great guys of my life, yeah.
I love that story, parking outside of Brookhaven. A wonderful story.
Well, it is, and it's true. It's an example, and I'll say it again. I don't think I could say it too often for particularly young minds. Don Glaser... is just the proof that what he teaches and he taught me, don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something or an experiment won't work unless they can prove they did it themselves, okay?
Yeah.
And then do it over again to find out what they missed.
Or where they screwed up.
That's right. And you'll be surprised. You'll hear people brag about, I did this experiment, I did that. You go redo it. And invariably, you'll find something they didn't see, they overlooked, and you'll learn something.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave me a guiding light that I didn't pay as much attention to it early on as I should have later. But if you read, go to my webpage, drbill.us, okay?
Yeah.
You'll see some pretty bizarre adventures I've been involved in. And on every one of them, I remember the ringing words from Dr. Donald Glaser. Don't let them tell you it won't work unless they have done the experiment, and then go do the experiment. And everything you read in there, the universities recorded about my adventures came because of that. I mean, from building freeways out of flat car bridges to putting out the Kuwaiti oil well fires, you name it, you know.
Well, hey, you want to go after some low-hanging fruit?
Sure do.
All right. What's commercial efficiency of photovoltaics?
Photovoltaics. Efficiency is pretty low if you talk about the total. If you talk about the total sunlight coming in, it's down, I don't know, under 20% or something.
That's a pretty low bar, doctor.
Well, it's not. Hey, it's not that bad if we could really capture the 20% as if you know at a reasonable cost, and they don't tell you what it costs, and if it would be there 24 hours a day, it'd be a miracle, wouldn't it?
That's it.
But it isn't. And, you know, putting solar panels in Germany is laughable in the way they do it. But, it's, you know, the efficiency is very poor at that latitude. You know, solar panels in Germany, I have friends in Berlin, and I tease them about this. They put up the solar panels, and I told them, well, you know, unfortunately, those panels have to be there for 5 years before they return as much energy as required to make them.
Yeah.
Here in San Francisco, it's more than 3 years. Down where you are, same thing. Get down in Arizona, it may be a year and a half or so. But, you know, the solar panels are not cracked up for what they're sold to you for, you know. And,
Best case scenario, 12 hours a day.
Oh, no, yeah, that's very best at the equinox or, let's say, midsummer and when it's longer and if you're in Arizona. But look when it's cloudy. And typically, too, you only get 70% or less of what they're rated at because that's only if you keep the bird poop off of them and clean them all the time. How many people do you see climbing up every 3 or 4 months on their roof and cleaning off all the solar panels, huh?
That's a job market that has to be filled.
Yeah. I put up some. I own some. I also have a small hydro system. I don't go around bragging about it. They make a little money, but I knew when I put up the solar, it was going to be 3 or 4 years before I'd get any return on it, and maybe over the next 10 years it'll pay off. But I knew it was helping a little bit, and I could afford it. But you better take that attitude, you know, because it's not a free lunch by any means. Huh?
No, it isn't.
Hey, Robert, I appreciate you calling. Good questions as always.
All right,
and,
thank you.
Hope we can keep you listening.
Yeah, I'll be in touch with you on the email.
Hey, please do. Thank you. All right, I'll be back for another full hour here on KSCO Santa Cruz. Your number, 831-479-1080. Load up this switchboard now. Let's have some fun the next hour. You heard the questions. Yours could be the next one. I don't care what it is. We'll learn something. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, 1080 on the AM dial.
Let's go!
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Final day of Supreme Court hearings into the constitutional challenge to the president's sweeping health care overhaul. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg suggests part of it could be struck down and the rest sent back to Congress for repairs.
It's a choice between a wrecking operation or a salvage job.
So now we wait 93 days until June 28th, the likely last day of the current court term, the latest date we are likely to get a ruling from the justices. Between now and then, you can bet there will be plenty of back and forth between them on the drafting of the opinions and the dissents, whatever those turn out to be.
CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen. The heartbreak in Arkansas for the family of 4-year-old Caleb Lynn just gets worse the more you learn about it. The boy's body was found on a sandbar in the Spring River downstream from where he set out to catch some of the big kids who were helping clean up a Boy Scout camp. KFSM-TV reporter Heather Lewis.
Caleb's birthday is actually April 3rd, which is coming up. We're told that some family members already bought him birthday presents, so it's just really a tough day. He would have been 5 this coming week.
Another dire warning about the effects of a warming global climate.
The Nobel Prize-winning panel of scientists says climate change is leading to such severe storms, nations should prepare for an unprecedented onslaught of deadly and costly weather disasters. Their report forecasts more frequent heat waves, deluges, tropical cyclones, and droughts, and warns no corner of the globe is immune.
CBS's Pam Coulter says the report blames the scale of things on man-made climate change, plus poverty and population movements. New report says most cancer can be eliminated today. We just have to change some of the things we do, starting with breaking the smoking habit.
The key is carrot and the stick. We need individual and community level encouragement.
Dr. Graham Colditz at Washington University says more than half of all cancers are preventable with today's knowledge. The pilot of a JetBlue plane, Clayton Osmond, now faces charges after being locked out of the cockpit by his co-pilot yesterday.
His wife, Connie, was interviewed by investigators, and she said that she had not observed any signs of abnormal behavior from her husband. The couple live in Georgia. Interviews conducted by FBI and other investigators indicate that Osborne has a great reputation and is highly regarded by his colleagues. He was also recently assisting in a pilot training program at JetBlue.
CBS's Pat Milton. You've maybe heard by now, no winner in last night's Mega Millions lottery, which means the big dreams are still in play.
I'd buy a house on a river. I don't have a car. I would buy a car. Sure, I'd buy a car.
Friday's drawing will be worth a new record number, something over $500 million. Wall Street, the Dow, down 71 points. NASDAQ off 15. Oil, $105.50 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The following KSCO commentary is an encore presentation. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Last week, I received an urgent letter for funds to support Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Arizona. It appears that the powers that be do not like the fact that Arpaio is being too successful in his job. Arpaio is being punished for being tough on crime. He continues to fight to stop illegal immigration, and he forces prisoners to wear pink jumpsuits, and he cracks down on the criminal wave coming across our southern border with Mexico. According to the Wall Street Journal, since February 2007, Sheriff Arpaio has arrested about 30,000 illegal immigrants, and the administration is now attempting to curb the powers of this true American. Now Obama wants to discredit Arpaio and silence him and remove him from his job. Why, you might wonder, would our leader, who promised change, honesty, and transparency, want to discard the sheriff who's doing such a good job for our country? Well, here's the simple answer. Liberals led by the ACLU have filed 2,700 lawsuits against Sheriff Joe, accusing him of illegally profiling Latinos. But they are indeed illegal, and they are Latinos from Mexico, and that is not profiling. Also, President Obama has been doing a dismal job as president, and he knows that if he has any chance of remaining in office for more than one term, clearly he must do everything in his power to convince the country to give amnesty to the illegal immigrants who are here. If that happens, of course those new Americans will keep him in office for 2 terms. Along with amnesty, the following will happen. The illegals will expect welfare benefits, free health care, free hospitalization for childbirths, and free schooling in Spanish. And who will pay for those perks? You and me. Most Americans do not get these taxpayer-funded handouts. Why should those who come here illegally get them? The left likes to think there are 11 million illegals here. That was the estimate 8 years ago. The amount could now be closer to 29 million. To make this wonderful, tough, honest American Sheriff Joe Arpaio the fall guy for Obama's agenda, I say it stinks. Sheriff Joe should remain where he is.